Everybody, welcome back to One Crit Blunders Elsewhere. It's been a long time coming, and it has been a long time trying to get this particular group of folks together. If you notice, there's a whole bunch of new faces, so that means a new story. Haha! Except for Zurich, yay!
I'm blonde. Yep,
that was the reception I was expecting. Everyone hates me. Thank you all very much for coming to play. Thank you all for tuning in to listen or watching on the YouTubes. Make sure to like and subscribe, all that good stuff. We are also on the TikToks, so make sure to check that out. And we are now proud to present that we are part of the Goat Gaming Syndicate that is on Discord and on TikTok. So definitely check that out for sure. That is a humongous network of 1% D&D, 99% everything else, 100% tabletop role playing. So check it out. It's good stuff. Lots and lots of games. All right. So is everybody ready to die? I mean, play?
Always.
Play and die.
Well, I think
good point.
I think this is a prime opportunity to go around and let everybody introduce themselves and their characters, except Zurich. You stay in the basement.
I like that I'm on the bottom of the screen. It just like drives that point home.
You are exiled.
Let me ask my friends on my left and right. Oh.
Yeah, they did laugh. They left for good. They ran away. So we're going to start off with the character Artax, played by Tony. Hello there, sir. Can you say a little bit about your character?
Sure. So Artax is a bronze dragonborn paladin of Bahamut. And I guess he's been wandering the wastes. He carries with him one of the last tomes of Bahamut.
Nice. Lizard in the desert. Makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. Next up on our cast, we have Ash, who is played by Ashley.
Hi.
Hello there. Can you give us a little tidbit about your character?
Ash is a high elf ranger. And, let's see. She judges people by their actions and not their words.
That's fair. I feel like there's going to be a lot of judging happening.
It's probably not great for me.
Next on this amazing cast, we have Dewdrop, played by Lacey.
Oh, that's me.
It is you.
Oh, I'm Lacey, and I use they, them pronouns, but I will be playing Dewdrop, who uses she, her. She is a paladin of Eldath. Eldath, yeah. And she's half water genasi, half elf. Hence the weird watery name.
Half elf. It's like quarter elf.
Well, like half elf, half elf.
What's the ratio?
Yeah.
The ratio is
1/16.
The ancestry tree here.
Her mother was a hamster and her father drank elderberries.
Great reference.
And winning. Next up, we've got Chasm, who is played by Aaron.
Hi, that's me. I am a boring old regular human, and I'm a Way of Mercy monk specializing in poisons and healing and all that.
Nice. That's going to be fun. And then we have Pew Pew, who is played by Chris.
Hi there. Like you said, I'm Pew Pew, and he is a Kenku Soul Knife Rogue, who is a science experiment to a bunch of things that we can get into later, but suffice to say, he does not like squid.
That's amazing.
Does not like squid. All right, well, now that all the important people are out of the way, let's get this ball rolling, shall we? Oh, no, wait. We have Zurek, played by David.
You can pretty much ignore me. I'm not that important right now.
Right.
Oh, now. You really want something. I am Zurek, disciple of Talos, bringer of, well, Herald of Storms right now. It's a title, really.
This is true. For the record, I know I'm going kind of hard here, but Zurek was one of my favorites.
Was.
All right, so we're going to get this story rolling. Now, first we need a slight recap of everything that happened in season one, just to get us all caught up to right where we need to be. I'm going to give the most paraphrased version I possibly can. The world was bad. The Prime Minister was worse. Ruling out of the city of Kamador, he was unbeknownst to his subjects. He was actually a beholder who was in polymorphed form, pulling the strings. And Zurek caught wind of this. In fact, the whole party did. But Zurek came up with a quick method of dispatching this beholder, which kept everyone's hands relatively clean. Through a ritual of Zurek's own design, they launched a nuclear missile, which destroyed the entire city of Kamador and all of its residents. That pretty much sums that up. Now, one part of the story that we didn't get to get into a whole lot was that opposing the Prime Minister to great lengths was the enigmatic Omega. Nobody had ever met her before. They had only heard stories, and that she had her own, basically like her own militia that was after the Prime Minister and trying to bring down everything that he was building up. So once this happened, once the city was destroyed and the Prime Minister was dead, Omega sent word out to many of her agents, which brings us to this very moment. Chasm, Dewey, Ash, you are all standing in what can only be described as like an office of a building. But it is deep underground. Large, like, paned glass windows all around. There's, like, a nice mahogany desk and everything. You all three are in this room just waiting for Omega to show up. So at this particular moment, you can go ahead and describe what your characters look like to each other.
Okay, I'll go first. So I want you to imagine a plague doctor outfit, but without the whole headgear. So we got black robes and stuff like that. And the notable, I guess, feature is on each of my hands, I have a gauntlet essentially that looks like syringes, that syringes come out of it, with tubes running up into the black cloak where it has a source that you don't know. On the side of my head, there's a white mask that just hangs out here, as it could be pulled really easily to cover my face or return back. That's what I look like.
Right on.
Okay. So you'll see a fairly tall half-elf, half-water genasi. She's got like really dark hair that almost looks like water, and it's been put into little finger waves. And she is wearing just very simple clothing. Think aliens, like the clothes that Ripley was wearing. Like big pockets with big pants, tank top, you know, that kind of thing. And she's got a denim jacket tied around her waist.
Awesome. Ash?
I imagined a tall high elf with long hair and kind of a hooded tunic with tights and boots.
All right. Well, the three of you see each other standing there. Are you just kind of waiting in silence? Do you wish to say something to each other, or...
Are we all here for the same thing?
It would seem so.
It seems so.
Well, I don't know about y'all, but I've been here for a while, just waiting. So.
How long have we been waiting, by the way?
It's been about an hour.
Wonder how much longer we'll wait for.
I'm just going to sit down. Well, it's been long enough already. So, my legs hurt.
There's like this really weird silence going on. And entering through the office door is this female wearing full plate mail that is dyed completely red. Her face is completely covered by a mask, and embedded in her forehead all the way across, like a crown almost, are multicolored gems. And she kind of strides in like, yeah, I own this piece. What's up? Takes her mask off, sets it on the table, and looks around at all of you. And when she does so, you can see that she has very gaunt features, like not quite skeletal, but she looks like she could be malnourished. Her skin is very yellow in color, and her eyes have like an orange tint to them. She takes a moment to survey all three of you and sighs. Well, it appears that you three are the only ones who survived this part of the war. Forgive me for jumping into a conversation mid-thought. Have a seat and we can discuss this a bit.
Dewey sits.
I'm already on the ground.
Right?
Ash sits.
As you may know, our directive was to destroy the Prime Minister, or rather, the beholder that was the Prime Minister, since he was one of the denizens that came from space. But our war has only just begun. his masters, those beyond the stars, the great old ones, are quite unhappy with what has happened here and are forcing all of their other agents all across the galaxy to tighten their hold on all of the planets that they currently reside upon. I have called you here because there are others like you who they were supposed to be here. They were supposed to meet me. But unfortunately, as fate likes to do, they are now hurtling through space, completely out of control on their ship. If they had have just come here, things would have been a little bit easier. But as I've learned with them, nothing goes the easy way.
But what happened? What sent them flying?
I'd imagine a traveler. Pilot.
A traveler from beyond the stars crashed upon this planet. And the others found him before I could. Now they are in possession of his ship. They have no idea how to fly this ship. They were all born on this planet.
Some smart people. Very smart people.
That is an interesting choice of words.
So is this like a rescue mission or...
Partly,
you said they're hurtling through space.
Yes.
Without a pilot.
At this immediate moment, I cannot do anything about it. Once you enter the phlogiston beyond our planets, gods and powers do not work. We must wait for them to land on another planet for me to be able to teleport you to them. I would like for you to
crash.
Correct. Yes. Crash. I would like for you first and foremost to make sure that they are alive. Second, join them in their cause. Whatever that might be, although it should be the eradication of all enemies in outer space. The Mind Flayers, the Aboleths, the Beholders, all of them from beyond the stars need to be destroyed so that the universe can be free. This is no small task. And it will be hard, but the rewards will be great.
When do we leave?
Is this... Perfect. Exactly what I was hoping you would say.
Look! I'm just a medic. I have poison. I have potions. By my knowledge, none of that kills gods or Abelis or whatever is out there.
But what about my arrows?
Are they god-killing arrows?
I don't know. I've never tried them on a gun.
There you go. I've never tried.
I got them at Walmart.
They were in the $5 bin.
I like went to school to learn how to kill things like that, so I think I'm good.
Perfect.
We'll support you.
Follow that one.
What school is that?
Oh, God, making me pull out my backstory already? One second. Let me pull up the file.
You can just lie. I'm sorry.
You lie? It's all good.
I think it's the Eldath school, the one that all the paladins of Eldath go to. You know, that one?
About right. While you, while you are doing research, Omega begins doing a scrying spell to try and figure out where the ship is, where the rest of the group is. And as she sits there meditating for a moment, you can see one of the gems affixed to her forehead begins to glow softly. And she says, ah, perfect. They've just landed.
Crashed.
And I use landed in the lightest sense of the word. Yes. Let us go check on them, shall we?
I guess.
She begins to chant and cast the dimensional portal spell that she knows. This takes a few moments, and as she's doing so, she almost seems like she's in a trance, this real deep, like she's not there right now. And as this is happening, the three of you notice dirt and soot is starting to like fall from the ceiling. I need all of you to roll perception checks real quick.
Okay. Perception.
Perception checks.
Let's see.
Oh, wow. I can't see crap.
I have plus 6. Blind. And what dice is that?
D20.
Okay. Do I click on a D20? Do I add a plus 6?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Like that?
Like that.
Great roll.
Oh, wow. Sweet. Yeah, that is a fantastic roll. All right. So, Ash, you notice... Well, let me start with the other two first. So while you're watching this dirt and things kind of falling on the ground, you notice the desk is shaking a little bit. Like it almost feels to you, to Dewdrop and Chasm, like there's some kind of seismic activity going on right now. Ash, with your amazing role, you notice that the hair on everybody's arms, neck, hair, all like everywhere is kind of starting to stand up. Like there's a lot of static suddenly happening in the room.
Ooh. That's strange.
Does anyone have any idea what's going on? Never done this before.
I don't know that you're going to be in a nat 20 over there.
Feels like there's static everywhere.
Static, okay. Static. Schoolgirl, what does static mean?
So you know, like when you get like a balloon or something, or like latex or something, and like you rub it up against your hair, and your hair goes
yes,
all
yes,
straight.
Yes, I know what static electricity is. I just meant in magic.
Oh,
what does this mean?
May I roll an Arcana check?
Absolutely.
Okay, I have a plus 4 to those. Cool. Lord. All right.
I'm not going to lie. Every time Dewdrop starts to speak, I'm immediately transported to Walmart thanks to Zero. Like, I feel welcome. Like this is all of this is happening in a Walmart right now.
You got desks on aisle 5 over there.
And arrows on aisle 6.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Arcana check of 15. You don't know the spell exactly. Like you can't quite pinpoint what spell it is, but you do know that this school is evocation. Which typically evocation means damage.
Great. Dewey is going to pull out her shield and just kind of be like, y'all, it's evocation magic, which is, you know, sparky, sparky, boom, pow. So y'all might want to find some cover.
Is there a pillar? Is there a pile of rocks or anything I can jump behind?
Nope,
here?
Just the desk.
Is it one of those? Is there an underneath the desk part?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm going under that.
Can I follow you? Is there room?
I don't know. Yeah, two, because you're like, what, 6 foot or something like that? Or
yeah.
Yeah, so we got, can two
Yeah,
medium size.
Yeah, two. We'll say you two can fit under there. Dewdrop has shield at the ready. Omega still chanting and meditating. Lightning bolts begin shooting from a singular point in the room, which grows and spreads open like a tear. Through the tear, since Dewdrop, you're the only one kind of standing out with, you know, your shield up and everything, you can see beyond the tear, there is a just sea of stars and blackness and a floor that appears to be made out of some kind of wood. And emerging from this tear across the wood are three Illithids, three Mind Flayers. They are storming into this room, drawing their weapons. They're, you know, they got the what about Zoidberg going on? And they're like... And the first one through with the Nat 20 immediately prison shanks Omega, who stops chanting and falls to the floor. What do you do?
Pew Pew appears to be yelling, and but maybe like a silent yell.
So can we under the table see this, or are we just blocked? No, we cannot see this.
Yes. Okay. Ash and Chasm, you are oblivious to what is happening right now, other than there was a lot of lightning crackles and suddenly like the sound of a body hitting the floor.
That didn't sound good.
Dewey is gonna be like, y'all, I need your help, and is gonna take her halberd and strike at the nearest Illithid.
Smart.
Good choice of weapon.
It is a good choice of weapon. I appreciate that choice.
Should I roll to attack?
Yeah. Roll that attack. Get after it. Oh, okay.
Go on, get.
So with a dirty 20, you run one of the smaller Illithids, jab your halberd in and push it back through the portal.
I'm gonna go ahead and roll damage on that guy.
All right.
He takes 11 points of damage.
11. Oh, 11. Yeah. It spurts like inky black blood out of its tendriled mouth as it falls back through the portal onto the deck of the ship.
Do I have one attack or two? I have two attacks. I'm going to attack another one.
I think you have two now.
Yeah, I'm going to attack another one because I forgot that I'm a level 10 paladin.
Yeah.
Roll that down. Paladin. Oh, that's a d12.
Yeah, that's the...
does a 22 hit?
That hits the other one, yes.
Sweet. I'm going to roll damage on that guy too. Slice and dice him.
Oh my goodness.
Told y'all I knew how to handle these things. Check on Omega, make sure she's all right.
Okay. Who's up next?
Dewdrop calls to you two. It's just kind of like a free.
Oh, okay.
Like just what are you doing? Just go for it.
All right, I'm gonna like peek up over this desk thing. And see the squiddly people and the woman on the ground, and I'm going to slide the mask up after a heavy sigh, and then slide the mask over my face, at which point I immediately stand like just straight up, just fully broad, and I'm going to sprint right towards the lady on the ground.
Okay.
Can I reach her?
Yeah. Yeah, she's probably 15 feet away, maybe.
Okay. Can I do a medicine check to see how she's doing there?
Yep.
All right. That's a D20 plus 8. 24. How's she doing?
So she has not taken any significant damage, but she is in the process of bleeding. She's taking a little bit of damage every so often.
Okay. So that check is probably my action. So that's all I can pretty much do there, right?
Ash, what are you doing in all of this chaos?
So I'm wondering if I should go to Omega 2 and be the backup.
Backup to the backup?
Yep.
All right. So you proceed over. Are you going to try and attack one of these squid face guys or?
I'll try it.
All right.
I haven't used a bow and arrow before.
Okay. So you're just going to roll your d20 plus your attack modifier.
Let's see. What's the attack modifier? Is it?
Let's see if I can assist. Should be in the middle of the sheet where your weapons are listed.
Okay, I see hit plus 11.
Yep, and that's your attack modifier.
Okay, so a d20 and a hit plus 11?
Yep, d20 plus 11.
Okay.
My computer's
okay.
There we go. Did you roll?
Yeah, it says I thought, 21.
Thought I heard it. My computer freaked out for a minute. There we go. Okay, so yes, your arrow hits. Go ahead and roll the damage for that.
Damage 1d8 plus 5 piercing. 1d8 plus 5. Is that 1d8 plus 5? It says plus 5 piercing. Do I add plus 5 here?
Or is yeah, you just roll your 1d8 and add 5 to it.
Okay.
All right. So with your damage roll of 11, you shoot the Illithid that had stabbed Omega with a well-placed arrow. It stumbles back as blood kind of starts soaking into its strange colored robes. And as it falls through the portal, it's caught by another Illithid on the other side. And it's at this moment that Dewdrop and Ash, you can see that there's many more Illithids on this ship that are going to come through. Omega says to Chasm, "Lift me to my feet. I must get us out of here." And strength check.
Strength check. Okay.
While that's happening, may I channel divinity?
Sure.
I'm going to use my action, Abjure the Extra Planar. So Dewdrop grabs a necklace that she's wearing and holds it forward. And any aberration, celestial, elemental, fey, or fiend within 30 feet of me that can hear me must make a wisdom saving throw. Ooh. If it has, I'll tell you what happens if it fails or survives.
All right. We've got, what's the...
So it is, the DC is 15, so okay. It looks like two of those guys are going to pass.
There are.
So on a failed save, the creatures are turned for 1 minute or until it takes damage, and a turned creature must spend its turns trying to move as far away from me as it can, and it cannot willingly end its move in a space within 30 feet of me. For its action, it can only use the dash action or try to escape from an effect that prevents it from moving. If there's nowhere to move, it can take the dodge action.
Right on. So, yeah, actually, all of them except for one begin scattering. The one that passed is dragging its injured friend back across the deck. At this immediate moment, all of them are occupied. So nobody's coming through the portal right this second. But you can assume that with a ship that large, there's more down below that are probably going to be coming up. So, Chasm, I need that strength check to get Omega to her feet.
Well, before that, can I do something? I have my hand of healing action, which I want to heal her. Can I attempt to do that before I try and pick her up in case she can do it? So, the hand of healing is I spend one key point to touch a creature, and they restore 1d6 plus 4 hit points. So, that's 1d6 plus 4. There you go. That is 6 hit points she's getting back. And nice. What happens essentially is I kind of like cock back my right arm, and the syringes on the gauntlet kind of fill with this yellowy liquid. And I essentially punch her right where she's got this wound. And the syringes eject forward and basically kind of stab into her. If you've ever seen Scarecrow Gauntlets, that's what I'm going for. Anyways, they go right in, the liquid ejects, and that's the healing. And then can I try and help her up?
Yep.
Okay, so I'll do that strength there, which was, I have nothing, so that's just a d20 with nothing. Ooh, 7, I am weak. I'm a weak man.
That is still enough to get her stable, like to where she could stand up. Pained and labored, she continues her spell, finishes it, and a portal opens that leads directly into the astral plane. Everyone, into the portal.
Yeah, I follow.
Okay.
I'm silent, but I'm just dragging her with me. Just pulling.
Yeet ourselves like, into the portal.
Pretty harshly. I got no bedside manner here. That's the word. I'm just freaking.
That works. That works. All right. So the three of you leap through the portal. In the city of Alturuk, on the planet of Athas, desert rules, desert power. Sand more often than not blows through the air, sometimes ripping flesh straight off of the bone. There is very few places to seek refuge in this completely hostile environment. But in the town of Alturuk, Pew Pew and Artax have managed to find a watering hole. The two of you have been working in Alturuk for probably a month now, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. It's hard to tell on a planet that the sun stays up almost all the time. But you have been working under the dwarf named Rotan Vor. He is the head of the Wavir Trade Post, which pretty much... He's like the dwarven version of Watto. He kind of runs everything. He's kind of greedy when it comes to that kind of stuff. But this particular day, he has sought you both out rather than calling for you. As all three of you are standing in the bar, he does something completely out of character and brings you both a drink. Sitting down at the table with you, he says, "Well, boys, I've got a problem, and I need you two to solve it for me."
"I'm listening."
He stares at the bird, the chicken bird.
Sorry, you cut out. Could you say that intro line again?
Which part?
Definitely the chicken bird part.
Definitely chicken bird. So basically Rotan Vor is a dwarf who runs the Wavir trade post.
Sorry, guys, I've been losing everything. What's going on?
Uh-oh. All right. Are we back? Are we going?
His opening line. I heard everything else.
Okay, perfect. So, boys.
I'm good. I just opened his mouth. That's where I lost you.
I've got a problem, and I'm hoping that you two can help me solve it. I sent some laborers out into the desert. They're going to check out some ship that just crashed into the sand ridge out there. But unfortunately, a storm kicked up. I need you to go check on our commodities. Make sure that they're all still alive and help them with that ship. Take anything that's not bolted down.
Pew Pew is listening, but he's dipping his beak into the drink as he's like a bird and just kind of...
Yeah, he's like that bird that the water...
He's sippy chickening the drink.
Yeah.
While looking at him very intently.
Oh, boy. So he's just going to, like, internalize for a second, like,
All right. Jeez. If you're going to twist my arm about it, if you go out there and make sure that we get our stuff, I'll cut you in for whatever we sell off of the ship, but I'll also give you 1,000 credits.
Pew Pew each. Mimics these exact words to Artax and goes, 1,000 credits.
Yes, that is quite a considerable amount. What are we waiting for?
Pew Pew then guzzles the rest of his drink very awkwardly with a beak, sets it down, and gets up and ready to go.
I don't have lips! All right.
Come now, Pew. There's people out there that need our help.
Help!
Oh, this is going to be awesome. I can tell already. The two of you strike off into the desert, heading southeast. Towards the sand ridge. It's not super far from the town for people that know how to get there. Unfortunately, the wind has picked up so much that the trail that the laborers had used or that you would be following has been completely covered over. But luckily, the two of you have lived here before, so go ahead and roll survival checks.
Survival checks. Survival, that's going to be okay. Oh no.
Hey, nat 20.
Oh.
There it is. I'm sorry.
Oops.
I'm starting to view Pew Pew now more as like the Roadrunner.
Oh, I got a 22.
There you go. The two of you are doing just fine, even with the sand blowing through. It is about 120 degrees Fahrenheit outside, but this is just another day on Athos.
Oh, yeah.
After a while, you can see in the distance a spacecraft that has landed, skidded along the ground for approximately a mile, and then rolled a few times and came to rest upside down.
A sound landing.
Touchdown! Unfortunately, pew, pew, you do not see any of the laborers.
Pew, pew, bird.
Like a seagull.
You said it, Pew Pew. Let's go quickly.
Quickly and quiet. He like gets down and he like taps Artax like, get stealthy. And like,
oh yeah, like by the way, Artax is wearing like plate armor and he's got like a cloak to keep it from burning him, like the sun from burning him. He's not well. I mean, like we can try stealthy. I mean, we could always try it.
You might get like, a nat 20. Once over, rolls his eyes and goes a little forward in front of you to take point and stealthily approach.
Roll stealth check.
Oh, good grief.
Okay.
This will work.
Yeah. 25.
Wow, okay.
No.
So Pew Pew's doing all right.
Now I can't remember if it's slash roll or if it's... Yeah, it's slash roll. Okay, so a 19 or a 17. This will be a 17.
Yep, but that's still really good. Somehow you are sneaking in plate mail. I'm kind of gobsmacked. So you two are sneaking up on this ship. Again, you don't see any of the laborers, but you do see that there are some tracks that are all around where it appears a wagon could have stopped. They are small, like very small lizard-like feet. And as you two are looking at this and trying to figure out what's going on here, the wind kind of swirls up almost like a dust devil for a second. And three people spill out into the sand.
I immediately draw my great sword and, like, get ready for a big old swing.
Pew Pew's beak just kind of opens up and... Well, he
doesn't know what to do. Oh, no! So, Dewdrop, Ash, and Chasm, you are immediately blinded by the sun of a desert planet. Your mouth is filled with sand. You're just covered. It's like if you were to face plant into a snowbank, but it was made of sand. Kind of scrambling for a minute in the hot sand, you see a dragonborn drawing a great sword on you and a bird who is surprised.
Easy there, interlopers.
Interlopers.
Like, where did you come from?
Who are y'all calling interlopers?
Pew, pew, I'm pew, calling you. That would be you. You sort of just appeared.
Yeah, I don't really have a good explanation for that. You'd have to ask Omega about that.
Omega?
She's the hurt one.
Sand everywhere.
Saying the impact, my mask has slid off.
I hate sand.
Pew Pew goes up to the mask and kind of points at it because it kind of looks like him.
Yes, Pew Pew. It does look like you.
Careful now. That's important, and I'm going to try and like push you away and like kind of... Pew like Pew one hand is like...
Easy now. He doesn't like to be touched.
My mask doesn't like to be touched either.
While you all are doing this, I need you to roll a perception check real quick.
Okay.
While you all are having this lovely banter.
I rolled damage.
Sorry.
He stared at him so hard he took physical damage.
Oh, I got my cornea.
Oh, no.
That's a 28.
Oh, no. Our table.
It's broken. Oh,
I didn't mean to. I didn't mean to roll that. I have to get a... Wait. Perception is 6?
Yep.
Plus 6.
So got, what, 28? A nat 20? 19.
Oh.
Is that what you said? 19? 22?
I believe actually The nat 20 doesn't count because I rolled damage and then I accidentally clicked the roller button twice. So I actually only rolled a 12.
Oh, I see. Okay. I didn't scroll up far enough. Okay.
You rolled a natural 20 in honesty. You didn't know that? That's more important.
Says the paladin. Oh, wait, you're a paladin too. Yay! Yeah, you're kind of distracted with everything that's going on right this moment at time. But all the rest of you hear like a low kind of soft groaning coming from inside of the ship, like someone is hurt.
Pew runs forward to help.
You're gonna jump up onto
the groaning to help him.
Okay.
Yeah, there's someone that's injured. Artax is gonna head off that way too.
All right, so they're out. Bye. What's everybody else doing?
I'm walking slowly there while shaking the sand out of my mask.
Nice. Ash, you following?
Yeah. While also shaking the sand out of my hood.
There you go. So, Dewey, everybody's just kind of like walking away all of a sudden.
Yeah.
We're going to the sound of the groaning voice.
Dewey's actually going to check for Omega inside of the ship first.
Yeah.
All right. Well, luckily, the groaning is coming from inside of the ship. You do not find any sign of Omega, however. But all of you come to what appears to be like a cabin door that is, you know, the ship's upside down. So it's like up by the ceiling. And that is where the groaning is coming from.
Gordon!
Can Pew Pew climb up to the cabin door and press the open button?
You can certainly give me a strength or a athletics check.
Can I roll climb acrobatics? On up there?
Where are you? Athletic. Get me out!
I'm very strong. I can muscle this. I got a +6 to strength checks.
8. 8 athletic.
Oh, I was gonna be like, can I be like assisting him? You're like, come on, Pew Pew, you've got it, little.
So you're trying to hoist Pew Pew up, but his little chicken fingers are just kind of like scratching on the wall. They're like, he's not actually working.
Your feet are not an evolutionary advantage. Damn it!
Advantage.
Advantage.
You said that there was a what fall that had fallen across the cabin door, or is it just that the door's stuck?
The door is, so the entire ship is upside down. Mm-hmm. So the door itself is like up at the ceiling, essentially. You all are.
Someone changed the gravity controls. Computer! Not even me.
Dewey is going to position herself immediately under the door and look over at Chasm and Ash and just be like, I think whoever's inside of that cabin there is going to fall out whenever they open the door. So if one of y'all want to help me catch him.
You there, okay. Big sword man.
Oh, you must be mean. Yes.
Yes, big sword man. You help her catch it. I'm not good at this. And I'm just going to walk away.
All right. Let's do this.
Nothing happened.
Pee-pee still standing awkwardly on his shoulders. Kind of just gets down. Very like...
So, Zurich, when you attempt off. To open the door...
Oh no, that's I'm not attempting to open the door. That is my dexterity save.
Oh, okay. So when the door is attempted to be opened, there is no power to the ship, unfortunately. So it appears that the door is locked somehow. And while everybody is plotting and thinking to themselves and getting ready to catch this mystery person, from down one of the dark hallways, you hear what sounds like a, for lack of a better term, it sounds like a metal nail or a metal claw clinking on the ground.
Pew pew hides.
Looking down the hall, you see the reflection. Yeah, pretty close to that. You see a reflection of a single red light. Getting closer and closer and closer.
Okay. Hides. Pew hides.
I'm gonna look at the
roll stealth check.
Where are you hiding? Where do you hide?
Under the desk. Under the desk.
You have no desk here.
So Artax is gonna look over Dewdrop and then be like, and then like walk forward to whatever this sound is, like sword at the ready. And he's gonna be like,
"That's a 30."
Let's see here. Oh, merciful Dragon Father, grant me your divine protection, and then cast that protection from evil on myself.
Nice.
I'm hiding with the bird, even if it potentially blows his cover. Because if I'm not good,
I rolled a 30. I'm fine.
I'm just following.
Yeah. Pew Pew basically like fades from existence.
Just Homer in the bushes.
Yeah.
Dewdrop, Ash, what are you two doing?
Oh, there's my hide.
Dewey is gonna follow in Artax's footsteps and pull out her holy symbol and just kind of be like, "Oh, Eldath, you've helped me through many things before. I'd like to have your divine favor once more so I can kick somebody's ass." And she's gonna cast divine favor on herself.
Nice. Okay, Ash, what are you doing?
I'll stay with Dewey.
Okay. The three of you creep down the hall further into the darkness towards this red light, which seems to stop as you get closer. When you get just a little bit closer, it begins walking towards you again. When it comes out into the light, what you see before you is a sphere made of metal with a single camera lens in the center of it that has a red light inside. Four spider-like legs stick out from its body, and you can see next to its lens, it has like this dent of a corner, like somebody hit this thing with an axe, but it didn't break through metal.
This poor thing, it's lame.
Yup.
Oh, come here, little fella.
It walks over. Ting, 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 ting.
All of that mystery for one overblown gonk droid. All right.
I'm gonna put my sword back. I'm gonna pick it up.
You hear the what?
I'm gonna like put my sword away, then like pick it up. I'm like, look at this thing.
There's someone out there. Hello.
Whisper to.
Oh, what's like, that?
Our cover's blown.
Pew pew.
Go down. Thomas.
It'll explode.
I'm like.
So, Kevin and Pew Pew, the two of you were hiding back by, back by the door, and you can hear whoever's inside is calling out random names. Artax, when you shake the little droid, it like its legs kind of flip around, like you can hear it sounds like there's a penny or something inside of it rattling around. It's like,
all right, we'll worry about that later. Hey, You wouldn't be happen to be able to get up there and open that door, would you?
Meow.
I'm going to take that as a maybe.
Tries flailing its little legs.
And like, so yeah, I'm going to take it back up to them. Like, I'm like, hey, look what I found. I'll show off everyone. And
I found a critter.
Yeah.
Aww.
Let's see if it can open up the door. I'm like, go on, little one. Open the door. Yes. I have no idea.
So it promptly walks across the ceiling proper, which is what you all are standing on.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Climbs up the wall to the door, hits the access pad, and the door opens up.
That, my friends, that is a companion.
Who's out there?
From the shadows, there is an enormous sigh. That's
Do you come in peace down there?
We come in multiple pieces. There's like five of us.
You're all dead.
No, I mean, I think I misunderstood what the question was you were asking.
Do you come with the intention to kill me?
Do you intend to kill us?
Not yet.
Easy, then friend.
We are not yet intending to kill you.
I am a representative of justice and good above all.
I can work with that. All right, watch out. Zurich leaps down.
What does he look like?
Before you stands what can only be described as a 6-foot-tall dwarf wearing basically a half plate mail armor with a cloak and a spear on his back.
Well, mm-hmm. Why are you here? And where's Gwendolyn and Sir Thomas and the small one?
Pew Pew kind of raises his hand when you say small one.
And I'm like, push it down, like, no.
You're not wrong. Noted. What?
I don't think he means these littles.
No, those things. Well, we use them. Where's, what was it? Lamb, Mal, the metallic guy. Wait, before I ask that, where are you from? Have you been in the ship this whole time and we just didn't realize it?
What's the name of the planet that we were just bamboozled from?
I like that you used that word. That would be Terrathil.
Well, I'm from Terrathil. I met those two from Terrathil as well, and we just got attacked by like Illithids and Mind Flayers, and now we're here because a spooky lady made a portal.
Except for me and Pew Pew there. We're from this planet.
What is your name, not Pew Pew?
I am Artax.
Good. So were you three then in Commodore?
Were we?
No. Yeah, were we in Commodore?
No, you weren't.
Good. I don't have to kill you then.
Good.
Well, so why are you all here then? Surely it's not to meet me.
Pew Pew opens his mouth and says, 1,000 gold.
I'm not gonna give you 1,000 gold. Whoever sent you on this terrible mission did not even consult me or my associates, and I surely am not gonna be stuck paying for whatever nonsense you were sent here for.
Do you know Omega?
Deep down looks sad.
Oh, 1 gold, here you go.
Perks right up, happily takes it and waves at you.
You don't have to wave, you're 3 feet away from me.
Nods.
Sir, do you know a woman named Omega has some gems embedded in her forehead?
Doesn't look very healthy.
Omega, you say?
Yeah, kind of jaundiced looking skin.
So you've met her then?
Yeah, she was the spooky lady that just... Flares. Yeah, she was the spooky
She likes mind flares. Is that what you just said? She likes them?
Being shanked by mind flares.
Okay.
I don't think she liked it.
I'm being facetious, schoolgirl. They should have taught you that at your school.
I need that on a t-shirt.
Well, then, this is quite the predicament. See, a long time ago, I was sent to meet with Omega, me and my associates. However, things got weird, and now we're here. So, if you've met Omega, what did she tell you to do?
She told us that there was a ship that was careening through space without a pilot, and that we needed to link up with them and do our very level best to complete the mission of the eradication of all enemies in space.
Sounds about right.
Pew just kind of slowly turns and cocks his head.
Doesn't make any sense to me either, little bird.
Well, I'm hearing all enemies, so seeing as how you all were entrusted with her somewhat divine, I guess, authority, not so much divine, I should say, probably just regular authority, really, then we should probably do her bidding so as to get closer to her, and then, you know, eventually, you know. So, Artax, Pew-Pew, you weren't part of this quorum. What say you? Are you in? Are you going to join us in our apparent very important mission that doesn't really matter?
Very important mission.
That was good. That was a good impression. You know, here's another gold. You keep it up.
If it involves the eradication of evil, I'm in.
Eradication, yes. Evil, we'll wait to see.
I'm not here to eradicate innocence.
Definitely not innocence.
I'm
not
in agreement with the other
paladin.
We
protect the innocent.
We protect the innocent unless the bad guy's really, really bad.
Ooh.
What?
Where's the gray area?
Well, we're looking for a gray area. I think we just found it. What did you say your name was again, Mr. Gray Area?
I didn't, but that's okay. Let us finish
there
it together.
There is no gray area when one brings honor and full balance for oneself.
I like
you're not wrong. There's always a choice to be made, and it's never lukewarm, but there's always prices that must be weighed one against the other to make that choice. And that's more tough than gray, I should say. So,
now,
we are
that
here.
I'm going to have to DM interject and make a point about here real quick. Is that while all of this has been going on, every single one of you that has been talking to Zurich notice that one of his eyes has been closed the entire time, and there's like dried blood kind of coming out from under the lid and down his cheek.
Oh, is he that bad? Like points to his eye and like points to Zurich is like,
I agree, Pew Pew. This is most unseemly. And I'm gonna cast walk up to him and like lay on hands.
But you don't want to do that.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, I'll get it. Hold on. And then I cast one of the healing spells I know.
Pops like a grape out, puts it in his mouth. Ta-da!
Ew.
Sorry.
Sorry about that. Forgot. I was more concerned with getting out than fixing that. Sorry, I didn't mean to gross you out.
Trying to cast a heal spell on your eye does not work. You actually have no damage to heal. Your eye is kind of like
sewn shut,
glued shut.
Yeah,
like yeah. So you'd have to clean it to get your eye open and all that.
I mean, I Sorry. Can definitely help you with that. It kind of looks a little icky.
It's fine. I just need to clean up some of the
maintenance goes a long way.
Indeed, but in the crash and
here's the thing, sir. Here's the thing. If that's infectious in any way, shape, or form, I really don't want to catch it. And I've had my share of pink eye. I had siblings. So I would like. Could we clean that for you?
No, that's why it's not. It's not an infection. I don't think, but it's not contagious, and that's for certain.
I don't know you from Adam, but I think I'm going to take your word for it.
Pew's just kind of dabbing some water on a rag, and kind of like a doting mom, just kind of tapping at it,
trying to. I feel like if I call attention to this, it's only going to get worse. So I'm just should I, Artax is that should I just let him do this and he'll stop?
I just find that if you let it happen, he'll finish when he's done.
I'm gonna.
Words to live by.
I'm just gonna lean over and I'm like pointing out which places Pew Pew should dab, stuff like that. Like you want to go a little like deeper in there, and I'm like giving him advice of like triaging.
Completely following his instructions.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for the